This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
All right, Randall, thank you very much. Welcome to WSMI Sports Saturday as the month of February is winding down. And, Sean, that means the girls' state basketball tournament is a week away. The boys' state basketball tournament will follow a week after as we got to get ourselves adjusted to the four classes all running at the same time here.
Yeah, it's a circus, isn't it? It's that time of year. It really is a great way to just kick winter to the curb, and it just kind of sets the stage for spring and baseball. Oh, wait a minute.
We're getting
tonight, even savor it even a little more.
Hey, and baseball and softball practices start on Monday, Sean.
Wow. Thanks to them. There's no Rob Manfred.
Oh, goodness. Thank goodness, yes. So, in case you're wondering how this new state tournament format is going to work, the state tournament will begin on Thursday now with 1A and 2A state semifinals. The 1A state semifinals Thursday at 10 and 11:45. The 2A state semifinals at 2:30 and 4:15. And then the 1A third place game and the 2A third place game will both be held on Thursday night. Friday, you will have the 3A and 4A state semifinals running at the same times as the 1A and 2As did on Thursday. Then the 3A and 4A third place games Friday night. And then four state championship games on Saturday. 1A tips it at 1. And then, of course, 2A, 3A will follow. The 4A game slated in for 7:15 a week from tonight. And, Sean, that will be, to me, and we'll see how the whole weekend works out with this new format. But to me, all that matters is you're going to have four state championship games all in a row on Saturday. The format will be the same for the boys when they get going at Champaign the following week. But that, to me, is fantastic stuff. Four championship games in one session to wrap up the basketball season. To me, that is how it should be.
You know, to me, that's spot on. Even when, what we picture as the glory days of the tournament, it's like, well, I really don't want to watch that game, but we really don't have enough time to leave and go to, you know, grab a bite. So it just kind of, yeah, to me it just, it drained the energy out of the place. So I think someone at Bloomington really had some smarts, and I think that's going to pump some new life into the building. And people are going to be protective of their seats, and I think it really adds energy, adds interest. You don't have people just like, well, I guess I'm here because I have to be until, you know, just everybody there has got skin in the game.
I was always of the belief when they went to the four-class system that they missed the boat by not having the championship games in the same session with the old format, but I think they've gotten it right here this time around. So four championship games coming up a week from tonight. Of course, the Painted Lady Panthers, they are alive and well. They will be at the Vandalia Super Sectional coming up on Monday. They will take on Carterville as they try to punch their ticket to the state tournament. Civic Memorial is still alive. They will play Muhammad Seymour at the Highland Super Sectional after Muhammad Seymour upended Lincoln last night. Edwardsville, they will be at the 4A Super Sectional at Illinois Wesleyan. They'll take on Bolingbrook coming up in those Supers on Monday night. Sean, of course, regional championship last night for the boys, and we did not have any games on the radio. Hillsborough got upended in the semifinals in overtime at Greenville. Nokomis led late but couldn't hang on against Carlisle in the Patoka regional championship. And, you know, both of those teams all year long played some quality basketball, but it's the harsh reality of the postseason is it can end in the snap of a finger.
Boy, it sure can. And yeah, not that it's a kind of consolation anybody would want. You'd like to face them yourself, but doggone it, that Effingham club, I watched them a little bit in the fourth quarter, and the club that went on to drum Carlisle pretty good. They would have been a handful. So there's a little bit of consolation in that. I don't know. I mean, the Comas could have matched up better. You know, it's hard to plug everything in, but that they would have been a handful if Nokomis did advance. But, yeah, that's a heartbreaker. I mean, you come back, you're down 9 at one point, you whittle away, and, you know, you got Eisenbarth just hung in there so tough. I really admire guys who can go out there and play with four fouls. I don't think I could handle it. It's like I would be like I'm walking through, you know, like some kind of museum of antiquities. Oh, I'm sorry. I'm not going to touch you, please.
Some people can't play with fouls for that very reason, to where they just lose their aggressiveness and become a liability on the floor. But no one's ever accused Ryan Eisenbarth or anybody from Nokomis about lacking aggressiveness.
Boy, yeah, he made some big buckets. And, you know, just this Carlisle kid, this Hoffman kid, he just drilled three incredible shots. I mean, that really is the story of the Carlisle comeback. I mean, they lose two guys to foul trouble. You lose your big man to 6'5", Beer, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Beer was a handful. And, I thought Nokomis did a great job adjusting to the Knothouse kid, who's just a born shooter. And they really clamped down on him in the second half. And then Beer and Knothouse foul out, and you're thinking, cha-ching, see you on Friday. But this Hoffman kid, he goes out there, gets a four-point play, sets it up because he fires this precision shot and, adds a little fadeaway to draw a foul. So there's a four-point play. Nearly had another four-point play, and then hits a 21-22 footer. He really was something. And, he wasn't getting open shots either. You know, it wasn't like the defense took a snooze.
Mm-hmm. Another solid year for Nokomis, though. They get their 20th win, another 20-win season for Nokomis. They got a lot of their squad coming back for next year. Now, on the other side, for Hillsboro, of course, they got their 20th win in the regional quarterfinals a week ago. But, Sean, they've got a lot of seniors on their roster and a lot of productive seniors in Drake Vogel and Gavin Matouche specifically. And that was a crushing loss for Hillsboro on Wednesday night at Greenville. They had beaten the Comets three times on the year already. They were all good, tight ball games. This was the first game that was played at Greenville. Toppers got down 10-0 in the opening minutes, battled all the way back, never led in regulation, built up a 5-point lead with like a minute and 20 seconds to go in overtime, and all be darned if the Greenville Comets didn't storm back. And the play of the game wound up being Toppers were up 4. Greenville missed the shot. Toppers got the rebound. Jack Schoffelberger came up with a steal near midcourt, and then drained a 3 off the right wing that got him within 1. A quick shot from the Toppers, and eventually, all of a sudden, Greenville was at the free throw line to take the lead. But it was a fantastic ball game, but just a crushing loss for the Toppers. And when you've got a bunch of seniors on your team, and it ends like that, that is just a really hard pill to swallow. But you give the Greenville Comets all the credit. Jack Schoffelberger, I think, poured in 28 points in that game on Wednesday. And I said the biggest steal of the night, no doubt about it. And then after the game, you could tell Greenville, the students stormed the floor. It was a wonderful scene at Greenville on Wednesday from a Comet perspective. But boy, for the Toppers, it doesn't get a whole lot more crushing on the floor than that. We know the hype and the expectations coming into the year for this Hillsboro team, Sean, and they had a wonderful year, but it always felt to me like they were just like a tick off for whatever the case may be. I don't know that they ever really found their 100% stride forward. And, you know, that's sports. You know, just because you were real good the year before and everyone coming back, it doesn't mean it's going to translate to the following year necessarily. That's why every game, every moment, you got to stay in that moment and can't look too far ahead.
Oh, no doubt about it. It's funny. You know, it's like, well, we always like to project, oh, this team's going to be a dynasty, or, this team is on this upward trajectory. And weird things happen, and other teams develop in an uneven way. It's just, some kid from the other team make some big quantum leap from his sophomore to junior year. It's an inexact science.
Loved watching Drake Vogel and Gavin Matouche compete on the basketball floor here over the last 4 years for the Toppers. Both get 1,000 points in their career. And I don't know what Gavin Matouche's rebound total wound up being for his career, but it was a big number that had to push towards 1,000 as well. That kid, he was a walking double-double, was Gavin Matouche. So I know the season ended a lot earlier than the Toppers wanted to and certainly planned on, but it was a phenomenal ride for Hillsboro this year, and just congratulations to Drake Vogel and Gavin Matouche on outstanding high school basketball careers. We need to get to a break here on Sports Saturday. When we come back, we're going to talk with Pena Boys coach Adam Metzger as the Panthers won their own regional last night, beating Salem 50-38. So Pena is on to the Flora sectional for a Wednesday game with Mount Carmel. We will talk to Adam Metzger about that coming up. We will also talk with Hillsborough wrestling coach Garrett Young about the fantastic season that his 220-pounder Magnus Wells had as he won the sectional, finished sixth in state. So we'll talk to Garrett Young about that. And we'll catch up with our old buddy Carl Ray Fesser as he and Jeremy Smith will be on the call tonight down in Westland for the regional championship between Breeze Central and Breeze Modern Day. It'll be good to get Carl Ray's thoughts here on this new postseason structure and how it has worked out from an officiating standpoint. More to do. We're back with Adam Metzger following these messages on WQSMI.
And the Sports Saturday show continues. Once again, we join Tim Mize and Sean Bolint.
All right, Randall, thank you very much. Boys regional championship last night, and there were some quality ball games, to say the least. Auburn in triple overtime beat Porta 72-70 for that regional championship. Nashville beat Pinckneyville in overtime. SHG needed two overtimes to knock off Lanphier in the 3A regional championship. Now, last night, Pena was playing for a regional title on their home floor, and they knocked off Salem 50-38. We're happy to have on the phone with us right now Pena head coach Adam Metzger. And, Coach, thanks for a few minutes of your time this morning. And there's just, when you've got a team like you have, there's a different type of pressure when you're playing for the regional championship on your home floor.
Hey, it's good to be here. Thanks for having me. I think that's accurate. I think probably I feel it more than what they do. You know, the guys, they love to compete. They love to be in that atmosphere. They thrive in it. And so, you know, I was pretty calm yesterday, just knowing kind of the group of guys I had and, you know, kind of how they lead each other.
Coach, 32 games in, you try to avoid cruise control. You know, well, let's see here. We've got the upper edge in this matchup before we hit the floor. Let's just file a flight plan and get ready for the next one. Obviously, your guys don't do that, especially when you look at the work they did in the rebounding department. They hit the boards hard.
It was an unbelievable rebounding performance. So I believe we had 29 misses. We got 16 of those back on the offensive end. Defensively, we got 75-80% of the defensive rebounds against Salem, who is just extremely physical, very good rebounding team. You know, both of our bigs, Kuhn and Hackler, had over 10 rebounds. Kuhn had 16 rebounds the other night. Like, they're just stepping up, and, you know, you lose, you go home.
And, you know, sometimes when that reality sets in, teams don't necessarily step up to the moment. But your kids, though, between the football run and what they've done this year, they just seem like a special group that when the stakes are the highest, they rise to that occasion.
Yeah, they do. You know, pressure is either going to crack you or create diamonds. And we've got a lot of diamonds, you know, on our side. And I always say seniors die hard. I've got five great seniors, and, you know, they don't want to be done.
Well, you play that that big game last night at home. Does it sometimes feel like more of an advantage or more of an obligation to the home crowd?
Or did you repeat that one more time? You cut out, sorry.
I said sometimes you look at a game like this at home. Does it sometimes feel like more of an advantage or a sense of, well, we got to take care of the home crowd here, almost like an obligation?
Yeah, 1,000% advantage. We will play the sectional here, super, state, whatever you want to throw at us. Let us play at home. We love it. We have a great crowd. You know, it was a great atmosphere, and we had the girls playing in the sectional championship, and so the crowd was split, but Panther Nation was out in full force last night with basketball games.
Adam, you guys have been fantastic, really, from the opening tap this year. But I'm just curious, where have you seen the biggest improvement from your team from the first game to that regional championship last night?
Oh, man. That's a great question. I would say rebounding is one of the keys that we've locked in on, kind of getting everyone involved. But, you know, the guys, they just don't care. And everyone's so alarmed when I say it, but they just, you know, they don't care who rebounds, who scores. And we just continue to do that, and it wows me after every game that we play. Whenever I look at, you know, the stat sheet, or, you know, I look at the book of, wow, I didn't even know this kid had that, or they have me bought into that of, I have no idea who rebounds, who scores, who does anything.
Well, Max Lynch, what a sharpshooter, and, I mean, obviously it's all about the team basketball, what happens in those 32 minutes, but just says a lot about him. It's not like a dunk competition or a show-off thing. It's practice and a lot of practice, a lot of shots taken 12 months a year when you move forward in that three-point competition.
Yeah, definitely. I was proud of Max. You know, a great kid. He's obviously a great athlete, and he gave us, you know, after that, after advancing, you know, it's an awesome moment, especially for a junior. He goes out and he just plays a heck of a game. Has some big moments there in the first half where he gets two buckets, gets a key steal. You know, we love having Max around. I'm going to keep him on our side.
You guys are so deep and so balanced, and that is what has made you so difficult to contend with all year long. But, boy, as the season has come down the stretch here, it seems like Brendan Schoonover has really picked up his scoring.
Yeah, he's really turned it on. I think he's had, you know, his last few games are 35, 30, 26. He had 18 last night. And he's creating. Guys are really buying into a couple new wrinkles that we're putting in. And then last night he had 6 assists. You know, hey, he's reading the defense. They're collapsing. The very first play of the game, he penetrates. They all collapse. He dishes layup, and he's just as happy about that.
Well, I mean, the guys just bring it, and I know at home you want to set the tone. You don't want to have the road team come in, take the crowd out of it a little bit, and you guys really just, you know, jump on the opposition from the opening gun.
Definitely. I think that's something that our guys do a phenomenal job at, is kind of, you know, just beginning. They're focused. They're ready. You know, things don't always go our way, but we're going to bring that toughness, so you better be ready as well.
And you guys have been mentally preparing for this postseason run as the season has gone along. And remarkable job, never looking forward, but always recognizing we've got big goals to accomplish this year. And checkmark one, winning the regional on your home floor. Now you're off to Flora for the sectional. And just talk about it. Anytime you get to a sectional, the atmosphere is different. The feeling in the gym, it just changes when you get to that sectional tournament level.
Yeah, definitely. The guys have been preparing. They are not satisfied. That's the first thing that Colin Schmidt says last night. He's a great senior leader for us. He says, hey, this was step one. You know, this is what we expected to do. Now we've got to take it another level, another level, another level. When you have guys like that in your locker room, you know, good things tend to happen. But you know, that atmosphere is going to be awesome. So I've personally never been to Flora, and I'm glad I'm getting to go there, you know, for basketball where we're playing. But we're going to get ready. We don't play until Wednesday, so we have a few days to prepare. But the guys thrive in those kind of settings. So, you know, I just can't wait for kind of see them on the court, to see them have the opportunity.
Well, I know getting ready for Mount Carmel, it's got to be a little different. You face a team that I don't imagine has any common opponents. Pretty strong year for them, 21-9, but kind of hard to gauge in that southeastern corner of the state what you're dealing with.
Yeah, definitely. They are always well-coached, always athletic, you know, kind of like us, where they've got great athletes, great football kids, you know, that play multiple sports, which is what you need at schools our size. They play some Indiana schools, you know, that I don't know anything about. Then they do play, you know, some schools. I believe they got a new conference this year. Their conference alignment shifted. So there are a few teams that, you know, we might normally see, but, you know, we didn't happen to this year. So, you know, I've been watching some film, been trying to look through newspaper articles, stats, anything I could from, you know, about 11 p.m. last night until now.
Adam, looks like an Apollo Conference refugee camp. Newton, Robinson,
yeah.
Paris, anyway.
Yeah.
Adam, it's always a delicate balance, isn't it, when you get into the postseason? You obviously have to scout your opponent. You have to know what they do. That's your job as a coach, to be prepared. But at the same time, you know, with the team you have and the talent you have, if you guys do what you expect to do, you're going to be fine.
Yeah, and that's exactly right. And as a coach, that is so difficult. I want to know every single wrinkle, every play. I probably over-scout, you know, each player and write down things. But before last night's game, I just wrote two words on the board. Be you. Hmm. Right? If we went out last night and we were us, all right, you know, playing how we play, defending how we're capable of, rebounding, you know, sometimes you can overthink it as a coach, and, you know, I'm guilty of that. But, you know, for our guys, they need to know that confidence I have in them, the confidence they have in each other to do what they've done throughout the year.
You know, sometimes sports is bigger than sports. I have to think that's the case over in Paint. I have to think the girls, the boys, the football program. Been a pretty tough 2 years for folks. I have to think you really have given people a lift. It just seems like this community has come together in a big way.
We've always had, you know, great supporters. We've always had, you know, great fans and people wanting to go to games. That's just what you do on a Friday night, whether it's basketball or, you know, a Thursday night for girls or whether it's football. But this year, you know, especially the postseason, but towards the end, people started coming out. It started getting packed. It started getting loud. You know, it helps having some really good kids that they're there to support. But it's been fun.
Well, I tell you what, Adam, the bar has been set quite high for the spring sports at Pena. Between the fall and the winter seasons, the spring folks are going to have a lot to accomplish if they want to keep up pace.
Yeah, and our spring sports, they're usually the ones that, you know, for a few years they carry the bar.
Right.
You know, our track teams are always good. The girls' track team, you know, wins, you know, year after year, it seems. The boys' track team got second in state a couple years ago. Baseball team won conference last year, won the regional, you know, which is pretty cool because we have, you know, the baseball team won the conference, and then football team turned around, wins conference. Now boys basketball wins conference. That's something that I don't know how often that happens, where you have baseball, football, and basketball all at once.
Super rare. And Adam, you know, so many times schools get pigeonholed into, that's football school, that's a basketball school. Pena doesn't have that. You got elite athletes, of course, but individual skills in all the sports. That's what always stands out to me about Pena, is pairing the elite athleticism with the individual skill in each sport. Very impressive.
Yeah, our kids, they buy in. The coaches work very well together. You know, credit to Coach Higgins, you know, Coach Militia, and, you know, all the other boys' coaches, girls' coaches. We like get together. We don't want kids to choose, hey, do I need to go to weights at this time or that? Hey, if you show up, that's going to count for everybody. Hey, we're not going to make you choose a football 7-on-7, a basketball open gym. Like, we want you to be successful in whatever you do, and so we're blessed. That's not how it is everywhere. But I think it allows our athletes to just go out and do what they do, just be athletic, just, you know, contribute in whatever way possible, and, you know, we're loving to see the results right now.
Well, whatever you guys are doing, keep on doing it, because it is a great time to be a Pena Panther. Adam, thank you so much for a few minutes of your time this morning. And I emailed you late last night because I wasn't about to throw the jinx or the kibosh on you and say, hey, can you come on the show after you win the regional, before you had won the regional? I wasn't going to do it to you, Adam.
I would not have responded to that email until later last night. I appreciate you waiting, but it's a great day to be a Panther.
Absolutely. Good luck on Wednesday.
Thank you so much.
All right, that is Adam Metzger. And, Sean, Adam Metzger might be one of the most underrated coaches and people in the state. This dude is phenomenal. Several years ago, there after a basketball game, win or lose, they would be in the bleachers picking up the trash. And I'm not talking about the guys on the end of the bench. I'm talking about the dude who dropped 35 in the game. There he is, picking up trash in the bleachers. It speaks to the character, not only of Adam Metzger, but of the kids at Pena.
Boy, you sure learn from that, don't you? Mm-hmm. I mean, keeps you humble, keeps you level-headed through it all. And that the program's bigger than you. I think that's awesome. You know, and you look at what they did last night. This Caleb Anthony kid comes out and has 15 of the club's 17 first-half points. And what do? They don't, we're solidly in the lead. We'll be okay. We'll just stick with the same game plan. No, they put the clamps on him, put him into vice grips, and he only had 4 points in the second half. I mean, just the, you know, halftime adjustments. I don't know if we always understand just the depth of how much, people make adjustments at half. You only have a few minutes, but clearly he retooled what they did defensively and really shut that guy down.
Well, Adam Metzger, he's never going to be unprepared for a situation. They will take on Mount Carmel coming up Wednesday night at the Flora Sectional in the semifinals. The other semifinal game there will be on Tuesday. That'll be T-Town and Alton Marquette. So, hello with that matchup right there between the Wooden Shoes and the Explorers on Tuesday, leading into Paynham and Mount Carmel on Wednesday. We need to get to a break here on Sports Saturday. When we come back, we're going to switch gears, talk wrestling with Topper Wrestling Coach Garrett Young when Sports Saturday continues.
Hi, this is Krista McGraw from Nancy's Pizza in Litchfield. Stop by Nancy's Pizza in Litchfield and experience the original stuffed deep dish pizza. Also serving thin crust, pasta, sandwiches, salads, and more. Enjoy beer, wine, or now spirits as you dine in. Located right off I-55 next to the Hampton Inn in Litchfield and open every day from 11 a.m. to 10 p.m., Nancy's Pizza offers great options for lunch. Enjoy our pizza by the slice or personal deep dish during the lunch hours. Nancy's Pizza, your love for pizza just got deeper.
Getting the kids to practice on time. Remembering if it's your day to bring snacks. Making it to the game with a clean jersey. Why are simple things sometimes so complicated? Thankfully, with Auto Owners, insurance doesn't have to be one of them. Auto Owners works with independent agents who answer when you call, so you can worry about more important things, like whether your kid is going to run toward first or third base. That's simple human sense.
See Bruce Webb Insurance in Farmersville and Raymond.
At Garrell's Auto Body and Repair in Litchfield, you'll find folks who've been doing it right since 1982 at the same place owned by Dwayne Garrell. They give free estimates and complete insurance work on all makes and models, foreign and domestic. Garrell's also does mechanical work, heaters, tune-ups, brake work, and starter and charging systems. It's time to winterize your ride. Stop in at Garrell's today at 613 East St. John in Litchfield. Garrell's Auto Body and Repair. They do it right.
Hi, this is Jared Goble from Prairie Town Feed Service. As a family-owned and operated business, we take pride in serving local farming families. Let us help keep your farm profitable by managing your risk with a crop insurance policy from Crop Risk Services. They offer a local adjusting team and policies that protect you from declines in both crop prices and yields so you can focus on what matters most. Stop in or call me today at 618-888-2255 to discuss your risk management needs.
And the Sports Saturday Show continues on this Saturday morning from FM 106. Once again, we join WSMI's Tim Mize and Sean Volant.
All right, Randall Prangy, thank you so much, and happy to have us on the phone with us right now is Hillsborough Wrestling Coach Garrett Young. And Garrett, thank you for a few minutes of your time this morning. And how much fun was that state tournament?
Oh, hey, thanks for having me on. Glad to be back. But, the state tournament, we're glad to be back at the state tournament. At the assembly halls, I call it, or the State Farm Center up at U of I. And, we walked away with Magnus Wells getting sixth place, which is huge. And but it was great to be back.
Coach, I have to think this is – we talk about the multi-sport athlete and the benefits. I have to think a field of endeavor like wrestling, it is the toughest sport from my perspective to be a multi-sport athlete. Because of the precision on weight and everything else, it's got to be a special way of having your head on a swivel, and he certainly did it well.
Yes, he did, and it's a grind, especially for like the state tournament. It was a 3-day tournament, so he's got to make weight 3 days in a row. We went from wrestling, we wrestled 6 times in 3 days, and it's tough. But Magnus is he's up for that. He was prepared. So it is very tough on the athlete. It's different because there's no timeouts, there's no substitutes. It's only you. So
you know, that's where being wrestling is so much tougher to prepare for.
Yeah, no place to hide when you're on that mat, no doubt about it. And you mentioned Magnus finished sixth in state, but let's go back the week prior. He won the sectional, and that is a huge accomplishment.
Yeah, he won. He came into the state series with only one loss this regular season. He won his regional. He won his sectional, which is huge. This is our first sectional champion in 13 years, and he ended up being our first state medalist in 12 years. You know, he set goals. We set goals at the beginning of the year, and that was one of his goals, and he went out and did it. So I'm extremely proud of him.
You know, are the butterflies as bad as other sports when you go from, I mean, you're in gyms like, well, Route and Jacksonville and small venues like that, then all of a sudden you go to the big echo chamber in Shambana. Of course, that is, I know, the cathedral of high school wrestling, of course, not just basketball. But do you see guys get the butterflies? Or is this a sport where you don't have to hit a three-pointer where it's so physical you don't have to worry about it?
No, it is nerve-wracking. You know, we wrestle all over, but when they walk into the assembly hall up at U of I, and we're down in that tunnel warming up, and when you walk out, maybe when you're up in the bleachers, don't look so big, but when they're down on the floor, it's pretty intimidating. I know as an athlete, I had the nerves, and I know you know, Magnus had some nerves, but really once we get going, the nerves are gone. All the practice, the routine, it just sets in, and it's go time.
You know, from a sports perspective, fans, they see the games or they see the matches, you know, and they draw certain conclusions and opinions based off of that. Talk to me about the work that Magnus Wells put in behind the scenes to get himself to this point this year. It didn't just happen by magic.
No, it didn't. We as a wrestling community, the kids put in so much hard work. Behind the scenes, it's with their weight, and dealing with that, which is unusual to other sports, and it's a long season. We're traveling. You take a toll on your body physically and mentally, and it's tough to get prepared for.
Where did you see the biggest improvement in Magnus this year from last year to this?
Mentally, he was more focused this year. You know, last year we went up to the state tournament, but it was at the Springfield Center, a little different. And he was more comfortable on the mat. You know, this is actually his only third year I've had him out. I couldn't get him out his freshman year. But I stayed with him and I believed in him. And I believe in all my athletes from day one. But mentally is the big one, where he's improved. Is because physically he's there, but mentally, knowing that you can go out there and compete with the best kids in the state of Illinois, once you get that in your head, it's a game changer.
You know, I almost feel like this was destiny. I mean, obviously hard work is everything, and discipline. But it almost seems like his parents predestined this. I mean, Greco-Roman sport, the name Magnus, it's just there's something magic about that.
Yeah. That's right. His name fits it, and it's something that you want to do. And like I've said, that, you know, I can teach the best technique. I can get you conditioned, but when you're up there and by yourself, you've got to find something in yourself to do it. And especially like the state tournament, where it's a 3-day grind, and you're just battling with the best kids in the state. There's something that I can't teach, and Magnus has it. He has it.
Talk with Garrett Young, Hillsborough wrestling coach, and obviously Magnus Wells, the headliner for the Toppers this year on the mats. But, man, Garrett, you had a lot of kids have some real nice seasons for you.
We did. My whole team, you know, they're getting better every day. They're seeing the potential. They're seeing that their hard work pays off is a big one with these kids. Is, you know, they put in the hard work, it pays off, they're, you know, because it's on them. And so we're wanting to make Hillsborough the powerhouse of wrestling again. I know we've talked about it before. You know, the Davisons are doing a great job in Litchfield. Of course, we got Vandalia as a traditional powerhouse, and I want to get back there. I want to compete with we want to compete as a team with the best teams in the state, and individually wise, you know, we want to get the kids to be the best in the state.
Well, I know we're not Iowa, but it just seems like Illinois wrestling stacks up pretty well to its other neighbors. I know Iowa, it's like a religion, but I hear, you know, bigger and better things about wrestling all the time in the state, and certainly, you know, you get to be a big part of that again this year.
I do. And, you know, with this, with our team building and all of our kids having great seasons, you know, the last 4 years, and they're really getting there and making this more of a wrestling community, bring some limelight to the sport, and compete, like you said, with when you hear about Iowa and stuff like that. But wrestling in Illinois is almost just as big or maybe even bigger than Iowa.
Yeah, you mentioned how you couldn't get Magnus out his freshman year. Of course, Ian Malloy played basketball his first 3 years, decides to wrestle his senior year. And really, the basketball-wrestling combo, to me, it's the only time on the boys' sports calendar where they have to make a choice. Because in the fall, you know, soccer kids are soccer kids, football guys are football guys. But when you get into the winter, I'm sure there are a lot of kids who would like to do both basketball and wrestling, but the schedules just don't allow it. Talk about Ian Malloy, first year wrestling, and what a job he did.
Yeah, super proud of Ian. I'm glad he came out. It's kind of a shocker whenever he come in as a first year senior and, you know, has been playing basketball, but worked with him, and he's a very smart kid and picked up on it, and he's seen the potential that he could have by putting in his hard work, and he did. He made it to sectionals his first year as a heavyweight, and you know, I think he has aspirations of going to college and playing football, and wrestling is, I firmly believe, it's to help better them for football and in life afterwards. But and with basketball and wrestling is a little bit different because it's a sport for everybody. I mean, we have 14 weight classes from all the way from little to big, all the way in between, and so I think it is tough for especially kids that want to play or come out for wrestling, but they're playing basketball.
Well, I know another thing that, of course, makes us different, individual competition compared to football, basketball, what have you. Having a guy go to the state tournament and do well, what kind of inspiration, what kind of impact does that have on the other players and the other guys on the team and their hunger to try to get there themselves?
Oh, I think it's only going to skyrocket our program. The kids are seeing that, hey, this can happen here in small town Hillsboro, that we can compete with the best kids in the state. Their hard work pays off, and you know, our little kids program, they're wrestling regionals today, and Magnus went down to their practice this week and showed them his medal, and you know, you see the kids' eyes light up when they get to touch a state medal. And see that, hey, that we can do this. So I think as a program, this is only going to push forward and keep getting better.
And final question / point, Gary, I guess, would be, I don't think sometimes high school kids appreciate how the young kids look up to them.
That's right. There's always someone watching, and they may not grasp it as a high school student that there's always someone watching, but there's always a little kid looking up to you, wanting to be just like you. And so with this, the whole program, with my whole team, they're doing really well. The little kids are seeing it. They're wanting to be like that. And I'm extremely proud as a coach, and I'm extremely excited to see what's in store for Hillsboro Wrestling.
As are we. Garrett Young, thank you so much for a few minutes of your time this morning, sir.
Yep, thank you.
All right, that is Garrett Young, the head coach of Topper Wrestling. And, Sean, you're 100% right. Magnus Wells, that's a wrestling name right there.
You just picture him with a globe on his shoulders like Atlas. almost like Marcus, what's his name from Gladiator?
Aurelius?
Yeah, he was the emperor. Maximus.
Oh, Maximus,
Maximus,
yes.
Magnus. Magnus. Well, maybe need another syllable.
Well, I tell you what, everyone was entertained by Magnus Wells this year. We need to get to a break on Sports Saturday. Speaking of entertainment, Carl Ray Fesser is on deck. We will talk with our buddy Carl Ray as he is set to go down to Westcliff tonight for the championship game of the regional between Breeze Central and Breeze Modern
Day. The Milk Bowl football basketball game.
We'll talk with Carl Ray with Sports Saturday.
And the Sports Saturday show continues. Once again, we join WSMI's Tim Mize and Sean Valent.
All right, Randall, thank you so much. And happy to have on the phone right now our old buddy Carl Ray Fesser. And Carl Ray, good morning. This is a bit early for you, no?
Oh, no. Gotta get awake and get rolling, and because I had to climb the pole to talk to you guys.
Well, we're glad you got up there and got a good signal coming out. Hey, Carl, were you at down at West Glen all week? Was that the only place you were assigned to this week?
Yeah, well, we did the Litchfield game, which you saw last Saturday. But, yeah, we had two games down at West Glen, me and Jeremy Smith, Jr., both did. And we got snowed out on Wednesday and Thursday. I drove down there on Wednesday, got to Highland, and I got a phone call that said, we're not playing ball, which is okay. Everybody got home safe in the town. That's the main thing.
I was surprised they canceled that game on Wednesday, though, honestly, because the weather for Thursday was much worse. And then, as you said, it got canceled on Thursday. So you were down there last night for the semis. You'll be down there for the championship tonight. And, Carl Ray, I know you don't, when you get to your officiating, you don't just stay local. You get spread out pretty good. So you usually have a pretty good feel for the state of basketball around the state.
Well, we try to think so, but you never know. That's why we play the games. Every game is always going to be different and everything. But enjoyed a bunch still, Tim. But one of these days, you ain't going to have to talk to me anymore.
No, you don't get to retire. Don't even think about that. No. No.
Well, this is a selfish question. I haven't been to the new West Glen gym yet. How's that stack up as a facility compared to the old?
Quite a bit better. The main floor is in the middle, and then they got where the bleachers are. They've got two floors. They can fold the bleachers back. Very nice, beautiful facility. Kind of like almost a small community college. It's, I don't know how many people they get in that gym, but I imagine most of Clinton County will be there tonight.
Carl, how, from the officiating perspective here, how has this new format worked out? All four classes for the girls going at once, all four classes for the boys going at once. From an officiating perspective, how different and challenging has this been from the old system?
I tell you what, let's get through the year and get through the state tournament, and maybe I can answer that question then, because I think there's still a lot of stuff that hadn't been brought out yet. You know, you hear rumors all the time and everything, and I just hope there's going to be some guys that been called to go up there the last 2 years, and COVID did not allow it to happen. And if they don't get to go, man, that's just going to be a real bite for them. I just hate it for them. I just hope they all get to go, and because it's everybody that officiates, that works, needs to get to go to the state tournament.
Well, Carl Ray, you got to go for the first time. Was that the last year that they had it, I guess, probably 2 years ago?
I got to go in 17 and 19.
17 and 19.
19 was the last, yep.
And I know Jeremy Smith, he is on the precipice here, and Jeremy Smith needs to be at a state tournament. It needs to happen.
Oh, very much so. Us old men, he's the best one we got out of the six of it. Old Junior's really come along, and he just, I mean, I'm going down tonight working that ball game and knowing there'll be pressure there, but Junior's with me, and we're going to get along just fine. Now, we may call you Mr. Mize to come get us out of trouble. Would you do that for us?
I'll have the bail money set aside, yes.
Nah, we not bail money. Oh. I'm just talking getting out of Westland gym.
Hey, it's only like about a half mile. You can get to St. Clair County.
Yeah, exactly.
Take Westland Road, and you're in Summerfield. And
yeah, Carl, that's getting too far south. But I just know the band of basketball has always been different down there. Possession of basketball is huge to them guys, and they work. The kids work really, really hard. That's what's going to be the fun part tonight, is just kind of officiating, but just at times sitting back and watching how hard the kids are working to try and win that ball game.
Carl, what I like about you and your crews that you work with is you let the kids decide the game. You guys understand that if there's no advantage gain, we're not blowing the whistle and calling ticky-tack fouls here. Let's play some ball.
Yeah, well, we let some bumps go, and if they don't lose possession of that ball, we will not call a foul. I mean, that's when I got working with Danny and Rick. I changed a little bit. Maybe they tightened up. We just worked very well together, in my personal opinion. Mm-hmm. Now, guaranteed tonight, you go talk to whoever loses, Central or Modern Day, they're going to say we were terrible.
Oh, it's your fault all the way, 100%.
But that's just part of it. I mean, that's what we like and enjoy. And I know people are going, why can you say you enjoy it? But when you got the kids working as hard as they are and diving on fours after loose balls, dang near knocking us down. Danny got knocked down the other night and broke his wrist.
I saw the cast on his wrist last week, yes.
Yes, and everything. So that can become a problem. Hopefully, me and Junior will be quick enough that won't happen to us.
Well, Junior will. I don't know about you.
Well, that's true, too. I mean, I've got a few ages on Junior. I've almost been working basketball as long as Junior's been born. That's horrible.
Well, I don't know. Every official I know who's been at it a while, it seems like it's a fountain of youth. It has that effect. Just keeps your motor running at a higher level than if you were just at a watering hole, not a fishing hole all the time. It just not only, obviously it's exercise, but it's so much more.
It is. I mean, the mental part of the game tonight, there won't be too many smiles on my face. Every once in a while there will be, but me and Junior both will be really, really focused on it. We'll have some guys looking at us all. Running, Danny will be there, and Spanky Smith from down at Centralia, he's going to be there. And I hadn't seen Spanky since when me and Eric were together, and I'm looking really, really forward. That's a connection from the Chicken Eater, a.k.a. Ricky Tolley.
You know, Carl, there's always things that could be changed or tweaked. I would like to see in the postseason where the crews stay together. You know, you have a crew that you work with throughout the whole regular season. You know what the other guy's thinking. And then all of a sudden you get into the postseason. You got Jeremy tonight, but a lot of times you wind up with two officials that you haven't worked with all year long.
Yeah, you're exactly right. I stepped in the ball game last night. I'd seen the guy once. The other guy I'd never seen before. And we went and worked a ball game. And not meaning that we could have problems, but you could have an issue there. I mean, we could have a barge happen, which is a block and a charge.
Blarge.
And then you get into a double foul situation, and it just don't look very good. I mean, and it ain't about what the looks is. It's just we hate to have that happen. And we do kind of take it a little bit as a job, even though it's just a hobby. You know, I ain't gonna make no money this year, but I sure do have a lot of fun. Maybe it's the stops I make on the way home. What do you think, Tim?
Oh, that might have something to do with the car. I don't know. Possibly.
I get hungry, man. Well, I got to have a little something to eat.
Man's got to eat. That's right.
Yeah, exactly. So, all right.
Hey,
I know you guys are busy and maybe got some more people to talk to, so I will let you go. And, hey, Tim, thanks for keeping up with this tradition you guys got at WSMI. You guys are doing a great job. He would be very proud.
Well, Carl Ray, thank you very much, buddy. Always appreciate to have you on, and good luck tonight. Don't mess it up.
Oh, no. Come on. You want to go?
Nah, I'm good. Thanks,
Tom. Come on.
You know, Clinton County's a dry county, isn't it?
Yeah.
Not when Carl Ray comes to town, it's not.
Go to Highland and take 160 and head south 10 miles.
There we go.
I'll be there.
Carl Ray, thanks, buddy.
Wasn't dry in the Prohibition
care,
era.
Guys. Thank you.
Oh, Carl Ray, one of the greats, our buddy Carl Ray Fesser. Sean, a note here, Ken Leonard hanging it up after the upcoming fall football season, and you know you're more tied into the Springfield scene than I am, but there aren't really enough words to really describe what that man has meant and done for high school football, not only in the the Springfield and greater area, but the entire state.
Well, let me tell you, you talk about a guy with presence. He's got that Lombardi-like presence.
Yeah.
I mean, what an honor it was to sit in his office, and it was not the easiest gig in the world because when I was the public address announcer there, they had this a tiny booth, the play clock guy, the scoreboard guy, and me. And despite appearances, I'm not as petite as I appear in those crop pictures. It was a tough fit, but I'll tell you, what an honor to be a part of that program. And I ruffled some feathers in Rochester during that great rivalry. And, you know, people were like, here's, you know, the people were writing to the newspaper, and I was out of the booth, and he said, hey, you know, I want to bring you back. And I'll tell you what, that meant the world to me. He makes everything personal. I was in a CrossFit program for a while, and, I've got various issues. He shows up day three to urge me on and talks to me like I'm one of his players. Hmm. And he has a special place in my heart, and I can't say enough about him, what it was like to be affiliated with him. And it's so interesting to look at him and his son, Derek. You know, you talk about two contrasting styles as far as personality, and yet it isn't, you know, humble, down to earth, and those two are something to watch. I mean, Derek Leonard, you'd think, you know, if you had like a gathering of like legendary football coaches, it's like, does that guy work here? I mean, he's so low key. You wouldn't guess that he has 7 or 8 state titles.
And you know,
the same with Coach Leonard.
Yeah.
Coach Ken Leonard.
And Ken Leonard's greatest legacy might be the fact that his son very well might go down being the greatest high school football coach, passing his father years down the road. Obviously, there's a lot to do between now and then. But what impresses me about coaches like Ken Leonard, first year was 1984. Last year is going to be 2022. You think about how much sports have changed, how much, you know, the type of athlete and kid has changed over the last 40 years. He's adjusted and adapted to that change. You know, he didn't force the kids to come to his style. As the times and kids changed, he rolled with it.
Well, he certainly did. And, you know, he's adjusted to shrinking enrollment, pretty vicious multiplier. I definitely see why there's a need for it. But, you know, all of a sudden jamming them up to 6A, that was a little difficult. But he's adapted, and I think the neat thing is here, you know, you talk about, you know, harmony between the religions, what have you. You know, from the outside looking in, you assume he's Catholic. He's not.
Hmm.
You know, it's just, I think, and I think he's changed the way a lot of people look at that school.
In the press release, the assistant principal, Bob Brennison, I think he summed it up best talking about Ken Leonard. Sweet and simple. He is Mr. SHG.
Oh, no doubt about it. It's hard to imagine someone else with that whistle, but time marches on.
Good luck, right?
Oh, yeah.
It's like, who doesn't want to follow Vince Lombardi? Get on it.
Yeah, just a magical man, and what a career. And, you know, and that's the thing. You know, athletics, you see the guys 5, 10, 15, 20, 25 years down the road, and they're successful, and that two-a-day mentality, it just applies to everything they do in life.
Yeah, so hats off and congratulations to Ken Leonard. One more ride with SHG coming up this fall. We are out of time here on Sports Saturday. Thanks to Panther coach Adam Metzger for joining us this morning. Good luck to the Panthers as they take on Mount Carmel in the sectional coming up on Wednesday. Thanks to Hillsboro wrestling coach Garrett Young for joining us this morning. And, of course, our good old buddy Carl Ray Fesser. Him and Jeremy Smith will be on the call tonight down at Westland for the Battle of Breeze in that regional championship.
Changing my name to Magnus.
There, hey, there we go. That's a winner right there.
That's a cool radio name.
That's right. For Magnus Belint and Randall Prangy, I am Tim Mai. Sports Saturday is done here on WQSMI-FM, Litchfield, Hillsboro, Carlinville, and Greenville, the station you can count on.